Greetings. This episode of Stating the Obvious picks up on the tail end of Stating the Obvious 195. If you have not listened to that episode, you need to go back and listen to it. Otherwise, this is not going to make sense. I'm formulating my thoughts. I'm just going to let the intro play out. And I'll be back when it's done. Okay, we left off talking about how statists are afraid. And how one of the ways the fear which statists always, the state of fear in which statists always exist drives them to need conformity. As an example, and I have the PDF to this experiment, to the write-up for this experiment, I'm going to post that on the site. There's this experiment, I always refer to it as the three lines experiment. So what they did, what the experimenters do is, they have a piece of paper, whatever, it has three lines drawn on it. One of the three lines is clearly longer than the other two lines. The experimenters then bring a group of people in, and let's say it's 10 people. Of the 10 people, one of them is the person being experimented on. The other 9 people are all in on the experiment. So the experimenter will say, which of these lines, or the experimenter says, are any of these lines longer than the other ones? And of course, the person who is being experimented on will say, well, yeah, that one's longer. But the other 9 people will all say, no, they're the same length. And some percentage of the time, I don't remember what percentage of the time, you can read the fucking experiment paper for yourself, the person who is being experimented upon will change his opinion and say the lines are all the same length. Even though it's pretty obvious to anyone who's not a fucking moron that one of the lines is longer than the other ones. Now, I guarantee you the people who change their minds and say, oh, yeah, actually the lines are the same length, I can pretty much guarantee you those people are not ANCAPs. Those people are sheeple. And they're so scared of being different from others that when other people say, oh, this is true, something which is obviously false, they will conform with what the other people are saying. Fear. Fear of being different. Fear of not conforming. Fear that arises from the knowledge that they cannot provide for themselves. Also, how many times have I talked about it? The experiment, the reproductions of the Milgram experiment, where people shocked a puppy, where half of the men shocked the puppy to the full intensity, and 100% of the women shocked the puppy to the full intensity. Why do people obey authority figures? I'll link to this PDF in the blog also. Why do people obey authority figures the way they do, so blindly? Because it's fear. They're afraid. They're afraid that if they do not obey, if they are not obedient, that the things which are currently provided to them will no longer be provided. Conformity, fear, incompetence. All the things that drive statist and drive statism. The average person cannot move past these things. Let's look at some more examples. Fear. This is a story that I've been holding on to, that I've been wanting to tell for a long time, about how the fear permeates our society. So I have a friend, and she has a daughter who's 10 years old. And one day, this friend and another friend of ours, who is a woman, and I are standing there, and we will call them Alice and Betty. So Alice is telling the story about her 10-year-old daughter, how she was riding her bike down the street, down the sidewalk, whatever it was, and two men stopped her and asked her if she knew where the nearest gas station was at, because they wanted to buy some cigarettes. And Betty immediately goes into, oh my God, they were going to abduct your daughter. They were child molesters. They were going to kidnap her. And Betty was just unable to comprehend that some men might ask a 10-year-old girl where the hell a gas station is at. And Betty's like, well, why would they ask a 10-year-old where a gas station is? And I'm thinking, and again, so I'm old. I'm thinking, well, when I was 10 years old, I knew where gas stations were at. I mean, what is so fucking magical about this? Why is it so hard to believe? And maybe they're, I don't know, I wasn't there. Now, is it possible they were child molesters and they were going to kidnap her? Maybe they were. Maybe that's the new pickup line. Instead of, hey, little girl, I've got some candy, maybe it's, hey, little girl, do you know where there's a gas station so I can buy some cigarettes? But it's fucking, this is the People's Republic of Fort Collins, by God. It's not exactly like kids are being kidnapped off the street every day. And if they are, well, where the fuck are their parents? And by the way, who's kidnapping them? Where are these people's parents? Where's the 12 years of public education? Where's the 4 years of college? Where were their mother? So these people, so these two guys were going to kidnap her and have sex with her. Their mother, who is a woman, never taught them not to have sex with 10-year-old girls? Oh, but that's right, women are perfect, right? And of course, we need the state to protect us. Anyhow, Betty starts going off about how that's just inappropriate and you should not ask, you know, strange people shouldn't talk to 10-year-old girls, and yeah, and it's all just out of fear, right? This is the fear that permeates our society, especially with children. Anytime a man talks to a child, there's this instant assumption that, oh, he must be a pedophile. He's talking to a child. And then if children are so fucking smart, I mean, I'm sorry, but to be fucking honest, but how can you be 10 years old? You're out riding your bike. So if I see a 10-year-old riding her bike on the sidewalk, I'm going to make an assumption that she lives in that area. That's her neighborhood. That's why she's riding a fucking bike there. A 10-year-old on her bicycle should not be like 6 miles from her house, right? This should be her neighborhood. Okay, so a 10-year-old kid who rides her bike around her neighborhood should fucking know the neighborhood. So if I don't know the neighborhood, I would walk up to a 10-year-old child and say, hey, I'm looking for a gas station. Where's the nearest one? This is not even remotely beyond the cause of reason in my mind. When I was 10 years old, I knew my neighborhood. I could tell somebody where a fucking gas station was. It's not that complicated. And I didn't have a smartphone or the internet or Google, or I wasn't on medication for my personality. I didn't have Obamacare. I didn't have Common Core in school. I didn't have any of this shit. And yet I knew where the fucking gas station was at. Fear. The whole thing, Betty launches into this whole thing, all motivated on fear. That these men wanted to have sex with this 10-year-old girl. You know, she's like, oh, they should have called the cops and all this. It's like, man, you need to calm the fuck down, bitch. It's fear. This is statism. You know, this is a woman. She's divorced. She gets money from her husband. She works this half-assed part-time job, making very little, because all of she admits it herself. She is a kept woman. That's her exact phrase. She gets all of her money from the ex-husband. And she's basically just a statist who wants more and more fucking government, more people in prison, more laws, and she hates men. the statist, I think it's not just that they live in a state of fear. The statist crave fear. I think they're driven by fear. Again, you talk to the average anarcho-capitalist, they have this level of fear that says, yes, the government's coming to kill me. You know, the government wants to take stuff away from me and all this other stuff. But we are not, I feel like we are not driven by fear. We are driven more by a desire to make things better. An anarcho-capitalist will want freedom to make things better. An anarcho-capitalist will want to get rid of the government and the corporations to make things better. The statist is not just driven by fear, but the statist actually craves fear in a completely different way. And this taps into motivational strategies. I've talked about NLP stuff before, and you can, you know, I can acknowledge a lot of NLP is bullshit, and that's fine. But what we call motivation strategies, you know, people are either moving towards or moving away. People are either motivated to gain pleasure or to avoid pain. And I would argue that the average anarcho-capitalist is a moving towards kind of person. Anarcho-capitalists do what we do in order to make things better. We do what we do in order to move towards pleasure. We do what we do in order to seek improvement, to make things better for ourselves and for everyone. Statists do what they do to avoid pain. Why do statists support Obama? Because without Obama, they won't get free birth control, right? Why do statists happily get in the scanner at the airport? Because without the scanners, then those evil Muslims, except of course that Islam is the religion of peace, will fly buildings into airplanes, right? Why do statists support the police state and all of these laws? Well, because if there's no laws and no police officers, people will go out and they'll kidnap and rape 10-year-old girls who are riding their bicycle on the sidewalk. Statists are not simply motivated by fear. They're not simply motivated by moving away from pain, trying to avoid what they see as potential pain. They actively crave fear. I mean, look at everything the statists have come up with, and this is just my short list and off the top of my head. Right, we're all going to die when some meteor hits the earth. And I saw something in the newspaper some time ago, you know, there's a meteor could hit the earth in 2027 or some shit, whatever. You know, there was the Y2K scare. There's global warming. We're all going to die from global warming. There's overpopulation. We're going to die from overpopulation. There was the 2012 Mayan calendar. We were all going to die then, right? The statists are constantly coming up with these threats that are going to destroy nuclear war. We are all going to die from nuclear war, which was odd because all the nuclear weapons were under the control of the government, which of course the statists believe the government is the source of everything. Right? The statists want the government to control every aspect of their life because they believe the government knows all, can be all, can do all, is always right, never makes mistakes, yet they were terrified there's going to be a nuclear war and we're all going to die, even though the government, which they worship, was in control of the nuclear weapons. So the statists are always manufacturing things to be afraid of. Just like with e-cigarettes. There's this thing now how kids are taking this liquid from electronic cigarettes and drinking it and getting high off of it. And that's why we have to make them illegal to protect the children. I mean, just these manufactured crises, these manufactured threats. The statists just invent this shit. I mean, this is shit that just comes out of your ass. Every man is a pedophile. Kids are getting high on electronic cigarettes. I mean, the fucking list goes on and on and on. It's simply manufactured crises to drive their need for being afraid. The statists are terrified of everything. Everything terrifies them, and only the government can protect them. And it doesn't matter, left-wing statist or right-wing statist. It manifests in different ways. The right-wing, I know I give the left-wing statist a lot of shit about wanting the government, you know, regulating hate speech and regulating who you can hire and regulating wages. Also, the right-wing statists are just as bad. They're afraid women will get abortions. Oh, we got to stop that, right? They're, you know, they need to get their religion on people. It doesn't matter, right-wing statist, left-wing statist. Oh, the right-wing statists are, you know, afraid that Islam, the Muslims are going to come get us because they hate us for our freedom. That's why we got to have the fucking TSA. That's why you got to have a Homeland Security. That's why we got to fucking wars. You just don't see any fucking right-wingers opposed to the wars. Even though Obama's president, you don't see one fucking right-wing anti-war protester, do you? Because they're afraid. Because they're fucking terrified. Speaking of idiots, let's do some more reading from commentary on social media. Now this is a comment that was left by a former friend of mine on Facebook. After he posted this on his wall, I found it necessary to unfriend him and remove him from my life permanently because he's a fucking douchebag. Here we go. Here's what he's got to say for himself. And this will all tie back into statist not being able to provide for themselves because they're incompetent, and statist being afraid, and it'll also bring up some other new stuff. Here's what this fucking idiot wrote. Quote, "In my experience, libertarianism, hardcore libertarianism at least, is a young man's philosophy. It's very, I can do it all myself. I don't need anyone's help, and nobody has ever helped me anyway. Just get out of my way, you're cramping my style, and who asked you anyway? So when I see 20-year-old libertarians, I smile and nod and think, the world has been very kind to you, that you can afford to hold such a self-indulgent fantasy. Enjoy the naivety while you can, you are blessed. But the world is a tough place, and eventually most folks grow out of it. They begin to understand that no man is an island, society is vital, and the government frequently does good, important things, things that the free market just can't or won't do. As you start to realize that, you actually enjoy living in a real 21st century world rather than the fetishized 19th. So when I see 14-year-old libertarians, when I see 40-year-old libertarians, I think you have either lived a very sheltered life, or you are remarkably unobservant of the world around you. Libertarianism is a kid's game, and you ain't a kid." Now, let me point out that this comes from a man who goes to comic book conventions and takes pictures of girls in cosplay costumes. And he's accusing libertarians of living in a fetishized world. Of course, if I was married to the fat, dumpy, homely woman he's married to, I would take pictures of girls in cosplay outfits also. All right. I mean, there's just so much wrong with this. "In my experience, libertarianism," in other words, what he's saying is, I don't actually know what libertarianism is, but in my experience, which means my fucked up worldview, this is what it is. Say, "It's very, I can do it all myself. There is no anarcho-capitalist who believes they can do everything themselves. Anarcho-capitalists are perfectly aware that all humans are interdependent on each other. That one makes it society." Okay, it's statist to believe they can do everything themselves. Look at, God, here we go again. The strong, independent woman. She doesn't need a man. She can do everything herself. She is the epitome of statism. The strong, independent woman is the epitome of statism. And her entire fucking worldview revolves around, she doesn't need anybody else. She can do everything herself because she's getting her alimony and her child support and her welfare and her FWIC and her food stamps and her Social Security and her Medicare and her Medicaid and her free Obamacare birth control, and she doesn't need anyone else. Newsflash, you stupid fucking 40-year-old faggot who's married to a fat, dumpy, short bitch, and that's why you go to comic book conventions and take pictures of 16-year-old girls in cosplay outfits. Libertarians, anarcho-capitalists, do not believe they can do everything themselves, nor that they don't need anybody's help, nor that anyone has ever helped them. Anarcho-capitalists are fucking capitalist. Capitalists understand the way you make money is to create value for other people. In order to create value for other people, you can't be running around thinking you can do everything yourself and you don't need other people. You need other people to do things for them to create value for them. You are the stupidest mother... And God fucking damn it! This... So when he sees 20-year-old libertarians, he smiles and nods because he's so fucking knowing. He just knows so much. He's so wise. And the world's been, you need to enjoy your naivety while you can. So see, 20-year-old libertarians are naive. This cocksucker who believes that libertarians believe that they can do everything themselves and don't need other people. This cocksucker who believes that the government frequently does important things and therefore that justifies all the bad things the government does. This cocksucker who goes to comic book conventions and takes pictures of 16-year-old girls in cosplay outfits is calling libertarians naive. But the world is a tough place. Really? Why is the world a tough place? I mean, the government controls almost every aspect of our life in the United States. We got public education. We got parents. We got mothers raising their children. We got welfare, food stamps. The world's a tough place. My God, really? You think this is tough? Last time I checked, there are people in other countries fucking lying there starving to death in the dirt. Yeah, we've really got it tough here in the United States. Holy shit, we are so oppressed. It's a tough place, man. They begin to understand no man is an island. Again, sorry, dipshit. Sorry to fucking bust up your straw man that you're creating here because you're too fucking stupid to actually even know, to have even a clue what a libertarian is. I mean, his description of libertarian doesn't even fit the fucking Republicans who are trying to call themselves libertarians that I despise. Much less does it fit anarcho-capitalists and real libertarians. Society is vital. Okay. Not only is society is vital, but the idea you can't not have society. When you have people together in the same place, society happens. Again, you see here the statist view. Okay, and again, what is the fear underneath all of this? See, society is vital. The government frequently does good, important things that the free market just can't or won't do. There's the fear. You see, there's the fear that if the government doesn't do these vital things, they won't happen. And one of the vital things is the government provides society. Wow! Holy fucking shit! How can you be this clueless and still be smart enough to metabolize oxygen and carbon dioxide? Did you know that animals have societies? Ants, wasps, bees, wolves, gazelle, lions, crows, whales, dolphins. Once again, we see animals have societies. They don't need government to dictate the society to them. Statist. Are so fucking stupid. Not only do they need to be told by the government that killing other people is wrong, they need the government to actually form society for them, because they're not smart enough to interact with other people unless they have guidance on how to do it from the government. incompetence. In fucking competence. They are terrified that without government, there will be no society. And yes, there are some things the free market cannot do and will not do. For example, killing people in foreign countries with flying robots. The only way that is economically sustainable for the defense contractors who build those flying robots and for the people who have the jobs of piloting those flying robots is because of the government. In a free market, nobody would pay people money to build flying robots, send them to Afghanistan, and use them to kill people. The prison industrial complex. In a free market, there's no way in hell you would have the prison industrial complex. Wouldn't happen. There's no way in hell in the free market anybody would dump into the prison industrial complex the amount of money necessary to make that functional. The prison industrial complex can only happen with the state. The last couple of casts, I've talked about how colleges and public education would work in an anarcho-capitalist society. The college education system we have now, where people take out huge loans, go into debt to get diplomas that cannot get them a job, that would never happen in a free market society. So he's absolutely right. There are a whole lot of things that the free market cannot or will not provide. And are those things important? Well, they're important to the state because they maintain the state. And they're important to the statist because they feed into the statist need to be afraid. Afraid of their own incompetency. And then there's always this hint, you know, that, well, if we had anarcho-capitalism, we'd live like cavemen. We'd be living in the 19th century instead of the 21st century. Yes, because if the state went away, not only would all these people run around and start killing other people, even though, again, I've talked about this before, everybody in the United States right now has had 12 years of public education. They've all had 18 years of being parented by a mother with 12 years of education and possibly college. These people, but all of these people, if there's suddenly no government, they'll all run out and start killing each other. And if there's no government, suddenly all of the infrastructure will just fall apart. All the cars will stop working. All the roads will decay. All the cell phones will shut down. The electricity will all go out because God knows the free market would never have any incentive to provide people with electricity. I mean, who would buy electricity? Right? You can't make any money selling electricity. So when he sees a 40-year-old libertarian, he thinks that this person has lived a very sheltered life. This is a faggot who goes to comic book conventions and takes pictures of 16-year-old girls in cosplay outfits and who is completely dependent on the state. And he thinks libertarians lead a sheltered life. If there is anything more sheltered than a statist, I don't know what it is. Statists are sheltered from having to provide for their own defense. Statists are now sheltered from having to provide for their own healthcare expenses. Statists are sheltered from having to provide for their own retirement because they think mistakenly that Social Security will be there for them. Statists are sheltered from having to think for themselves because their political leader, be it right-wing leader or left-wing leader, tells them right from wrong and good from bad and what to do. You know, statists are sheltered from having to decide, do I go to a bar that allows smoking or do I go to a bar that is non-smoking? Statists are fucking sheltered from everything in their life. Statists are sheltered from having to negotiate wages. Statists are sheltered from having to make decisions about every aspect of their life. because there's laws and regulations that dictate everything. There is nothing more fucking sheltered than a fucking statist. Looking at my notes here, I think I hit most of this. Right, naive. Remember, naive. Statists are naive. I mean, libertarians are naive. Really? Statists actually believe that Obamacare is going to lower the cost of healthcare. That's pretty fucking naive. Statists believe that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That's pretty fucking naive. For a statist to call ANCAPs naive? I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because this is relevant and it ties in. This piece of shit is the same piece of shit that I used to do role-playing gaming with, RPGs. And we were playing, as a group, we were playing a game called Exalted, which is one of the best RPGs out there. If you're into RPGs and you've never played Exalted, oh, it's fantastic. The universe of the Exalted universe is absolutely amazing. Anyhow, we had somebody game mastering for us who was not a typical game master in our group. He was not usually a game master, and he wanted to run Exalted, so he was doing it. And we eventually, after, I don't know, 7-ish sessions, had to quit playing the game because the other players could not handle it. And here's why. Typically, when either this douchebag that I just read this comment from, or one of the other stupid fuckers who usually game mastered the group, we would always play some group of people who was taking orders from above, right? So we're superheroes, but we get our orders from the government, of course, right? Or, you know, it's the standard Dungeons and Dragons. You're going around and you're questing, so you get your quest. Somebody, you know, go rescue my daughter. So you have some exterior goal. You have a goal. Excuse me, let me start that again. The group has a goal or a mission or a purpose given to them from an exterior source. The person who was game mastering us in Exalted, so in Exalted, you just need to know this, you are essentially a demigod. You have huge amounts of power. And so in the Exalted universe, we were these demigods. And we were on our own. There was nobody giving us missions to accomplish. And the game master's like, you guys can do whatever the hell you want to do. You can plunge the world into chaos. You can, you know, go. You can bring back the sun god. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It was wide open. We had no outside directive. And the other players admit it. They said, we don't want to play this anymore because we don't know what to do. And this is another thing that differentiates. Hold on, I gotta need to write this down because this is actually. Remember earlier when I talked about in the previous one, I had the. Why do slaves choose statism? I said I had at least three reasons. That one, number one, they can't provide for themselves. Number two, they live in fear. Number three, they value comfort and convenience over freedom. Here we go. Here's number four. Number four, they have no sense of purpose or direction. We had to stop playing the game because the other players, they did not know what to do. And it's just like in life. You're born, and unless somebody else tells you what to do, you have to make your own decisions. You have to decide, what am I going to go to college for? You have to decide, what kind of job am I going to get? You're going to decide, what do I have to wear today? The statist does not have the ability to make their own decisions for their own life. They need something external to them to direct them and give them purpose. This is why they love public school. In public school, you're told what class to go to. You're told what room to be in. You're told when to show up. You're told when to go home. They love working for corporations. You're told when to come to work. You're told when to go home. You're told what to do. You have a boss who tells you what you're doing. You're constantly told. They love the government. The government tells them what to do. The government passes the laws. The government tells them what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. Statists need to have direction, purpose, given to them from an external source. They are not capable of manifesting their own direction and purpose. And this stupid fucker is a perfect example of that. I was listening to a Stefan Molyneux cast a while back, and he was having a discussion with a caller who had called in and was talking about how do we spread statism. We're now transitioning to the how do we spread statism part of this podcast. And in the course of the conversation, the caller said to Stefan, "We are surrounded by statists." Stefan Molyneux said something that was brilliant. And I don't think he recognized the brilliance at the time, because it was just an offhand comment for him. But when he said this, things in my brain clicked. Stefan said, quote, "No, we are surrounded by people afraid of being uncomfortable. It's up to us to make them uncomfortable instead of letting them make us uncomfortable."
Ah, oh, you prick.
Did you just hear the college kid outside go, "Oh, yeah, you prick"? That's the future of America right there. Their trunk said, "It's okay, man. In a couple of years, they're going to be working for corporations and wishing they could slit their own throats." They really are. All right, let's think about that. And here's what Stefan means by that. As ANCAPs, a lot of us think that statists are statists because they, I don't know if we think, okay, we assume. Okay, all right, let me start here. If you meet somebody who's an anarcho-capitalist, or if you are an anarcho-capitalist, you know that you or this other person went through a long thought process. You went through a period of time. God, fuck. Not you guys. I just realized as something was in my way. You went through a process where you had to sit around and really think. You took information and you considered it, okay? I think maybe you heard Ron Paul, whatever, and he said some stuff and you thought about it and you really thought hard about it and did it make sense? And then maybe one day you heard some Stefan Molyneux and you thought about that. And at first you resisted a lot of this stuff and you argued against it, but then you thought about it more and you realized, well, shit, that's right, and I've been wrong in the past. So you've gone through this long reasoning process where you and I, you know, I've talked a lot of times about my journey from being fucking left wing as fuck to being right wing to being right wing minarchist to being minarchist to being anarcho-capitalist, okay? We, all of us who are anarcho-capitalist, all of us, me, you, Michael W. Dean, Stefan Molyneux, Ben Stone, Larkin Rose, all of us, we've all made an intellectual journey. We started at statism. All of us were statist. Every fucking one of us were statist. We've made a journey to anarcho-capitalism. And along the way, we spilled a lot of intellectual blood. We spent a lot of time having to think about this shit. The same thing is not true for a statist. There is no statist who has arrived at statism by thinking hard about it. To arrive at statism, you have to do the opposite of thinking hard. You have to not think. You have to just mindlessly believe that you need the state to provide. You have to mindlessly believe that it's okay for the government to kill people in foreign countries with flying robots. You have to mindlessly believe that taxation is not theft. You have to mindlessly believe that the prison industrial complex is necessary. You have to mindlessly believe that society will not exist unless there's government. You have to mindlessly accept that shit. You cannot get to those things by thinking. You can't. So when you make the statement that we are surrounded by statists, and I've said the same thing, I say it all the time, that we're we're surrounded by statists and slaves. Okay, so on a very, you know, on a casual level, yeah, fine, whatever. But if we're looking at this philosophically, if we were really analyzing the words coming out of my mouth, it's not true, because these people are not statist because they've actually thought about it and determined that statism is the correct philosophy. These people are statist, number one, because they're natural slaves. But what does that mean? The fact that they are natural slaves means, okay, they can't provide for themselves. It means they live in fear. It means they value comfort and convenience more than freedom. And it means they are not capable of their own self-direction. It means that, as Stefan Molyneux said, they are afraid, there's the fear, of being uncomfortable. There's the value comfort and convenience more than freedom. And he's right. People are statist because they're afraid of being uncomfortable. They're afraid of disagreeing with the other statist around them. We're back to the three lines experiment. We're back to electrifying the puppies. We're back to afraid. We're back to fear. Sorry, boys and girls, it's all gonna come back every time, no matter how you dice this up. We can come up with the other reasons. You know, can't provide for themselves, they value comfort, they don't have self-determination. It all comes down to fear. They don't have any self-direction. That's why they need direction from exterior to them, because they're afraid to not have direction. They can't provide for themselves. That's why they need the state, because they're afraid they will not have things if those things aren't provided for them. They need comfort and convenience so much they will give up freedom. Why? Because they are afraid that they will not have comfort and convenience. It all comes down to fear. It's all about fear. All about fear. Stefan's right. These people are not statist because they have intellectually, intelligently, philosophically gone through a process and arrived at the conclusion that yes, statism is the way to be. They are statist because they are afraid to think. They're afraid to be different. They're afraid to have to provide for themselves. They are afraid of being uncomfortable. And what Stefan was getting at his comment is that when, you know, the statist says, well, but without the roads, who's going to build the roads, blah, blah, blah. You know, we as anarcho-capitalists need to not be afraid to make them uncomfortable and say, so you think the roads are worth killing people in foreign countries. Here's a little thing for you. Try this out next time you're in with the statist. Status says to you, well, I support Obama. Okay, you support Obama, so you support his war, you support the prison industrial complex that he supports, you support the war on drugs that he supports, you support killing people and flying robots that he supports, you're saying that Obama has never done anything that is morally, ethically, whatever word you want to use, bad. You support everything Obama's ever done. And they'll say, well, the stupid ones will say yes. There's nothing you can do with that. If you get one who says, well, no, I don't support everything he's done, I said, but you support Obama, so that means you support everything he's done. And they will say, well, no, it doesn't. You can support the president without agreeing with everything he's ever done. That's your key phrase. You want to get them to say that you can support the president without agreeing with everything he did. Okay? Once they've admitted that, that's when you spring the trap. You say, well, I support Adolf Hitler. And they'll say, you hate Jews. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, you can support Adolf Hitler without agreeing with everything he did. Right? And watch how fast they will tell you that if you support Hitler, you do agree with everything he did. You can't support Hitler and not agree with everything he did. Yet this person will have just said to you that they support Obama, but they don't agree with everything he's done. They don't really support Obama. They're just fucking terrified of not supporting Obama if the people around them support Obama. And this, knowing this, understanding that statists are not philosophically committed to statism. They are philosophically committed to their fear. They're philosophically committed to being afraid of being uncomfortable. So when the statist says to you, who's going to build the roads? You need to come at the statist with the number of people in prisons who get raped. You need to come at a statist with the number of people who get killed in the wars. You need to come at the statist with people getting killed with flying robots. You need to come at the statist with, if the government has welfare to prevent poverty, why are there so many poor people? Right? Don't you need to just fucking pound these people in the face, metaphorically speaking? Of course, if you did pound a statist in the face, non-metaphorically speaking, I wouldn't see anything. They're trying to make you uncomfortable by saying things like you hate Jews or you hate black people or you know without the roads children are going to starve. That's all they're doing. They're trying to make you emotionally uncomfortable because that's what works on them. That's why they are statist, right? It's for the children. This is why you can get statists to believe anything if you tell them it's for the children, because they're terrified of being emotionally uncomfortable. This is why all of these fucking scams and, you know, liking shit on Facebook. I liked Fight AIDS in Africa on Facebook. They're not doing that because it does any good. They're doing that because it feels good, because they're scared of being uncomfortable. Understand that. Understand that Stefan's right. They are not philosophically committed to statism. They haven't gotten there by going down an intellectual path. They're just doing it because they're afraid of being different. Okay. Can we fix them? Can we save the statist? Can we convert the statist? Make an analogy. Dolphins. Dolphins live in the ocean. Dolphins cannot live on the land. Not for an extended period of time, anyway. Is there anything you can do to get dolphins to be able to live on land? I'd be really embarrassed if... Now, dolphins can't live on land. Whew, that was close. I'm like, wait, dolphins are mammals. Can dolphins live on land? No. All right, whew. Sharks. Sharks are fish, sort of. They're actually kind of pseudo-fish, if I give my biology right. Sharks cannot live on land. Goddamn sure I know. Somebody's like, yeah, actually, dolphins can live on land if you splash a little water on them. Whew. All right. Sharks cannot live on land. There's no amount of persuading or talking to a shark that you can do to get a shark to live on land. It is not in their nature to live on land. It is not within their biology to live on land. You already know where I'm going with this. The statist cannot be converted. They cannot be fixed. They cannot be convinced. They cannot be reasoned with. You can't. Try as you might, you can't do it. How does this tie in with Stefan's comment that they're not statists, they're just afraid of being uncomfortable? Yes, But why are they afraid of being uncomfortable? And smart people are going to say that I'm using circular reasoning. I don't necessarily disagree with that. So hear me out. They're not statist. They're simply afraid of being uncomfortable. Why are they afraid of being uncomfortable? Because they are natural slaves. We're back to Aristotle. They are the natural slaves. And I've said natural slaves are statist, statist, natural slaves. And that's where you could say I'm circular reasoning. It's a progression. They're natural slaves. Because they are natural slaves, they are afraid of being uncomfortable. They're afraid of not being provided for. They're afraid of having to determine their own destiny. They're afraid of not having comfort and convenience. Because they are natural slaves, they are afraid of everything. Or you could say they're afraid of everything and therefore they're natural slaves. Either way, whichever of those two comes first, I think it's okay to make arguments either way. If you've got an argument about which one you think comes first, lay it on me. But the fear, again, the fear is the root. The statism comes out of the fear. They are going to be statist as long as they are afraid. Those of us who are ANCAPs are people who are born with the ability to not be afraid of everything in the world around us. The natural slaves, they have the fear of everything around them. And you can't take that out of them any more than the fact that a shark has gills and therefore needs to be in the water to live. Okay, statist, they come with that fear. It is a part of their brain chemistry. It is a makeup of their brain. It is genetically determined by their wetware. It is part of their neural biology. It is in there. And there is no fucking way, at least not until medical science allows us to alter people's brains, there's no way to take that out. They are afraid of everything. This is why I keep saying, I don't mean this metaphorically. They are a different species. There is something genetically about them that is broken. There is something about statist that is biologically different from anarcho-capitalist. We are not the same fucking species. And I know that hurts your feelings, and I know you're thinking about concentration camps and Hitler and all this other shit. And again, why are you thinking that? Fear. If when I say this, if this makes you afraid, you know you're a statist. You know you're a natural slave. When I say this, if you think to yourself, shit, I never thought about that before, I think he might be right, you're an anarcho-capitalist. Welcome to the fold. There's going to be a part 3.